Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
In the night, your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. Today is Friday, November 28th. And you know what it's actually the anniversary of? For you and I, when we had started the podcast and it was the very first time we hit the iTunes top 10, back when it was called iTunes,
Apple Podcast
top 10 comedy show list. So happy anniversary.
That would end. How very thankful, how very apt for it to come up at this time of year, because we're so very thankful for all of you that allow us to get to places like that.
Yeah, we can't be on any kind of list if there's no, well, we're on a list from our own.
We're on problem. A lot of lists. And but, the show has definitely contributed to some of those.
I mean, especially now. But we could not stand as strong as we do without all of y'all behind us. So thank you so very much for listening. We are always putting you guys at the top of our gratitude list. Mm-hmm. Literally, I'm like the listeners. And then specific listeners who reach out to us, who we see, who we interact with in the chats and stuff, who comment on our social media. We could not do this without y'all, as we always say. So we wanted to start off with some gratitude and some
absolutely
trip down memory lane, especially after our Wednesday memory episode. We've been through a lot together as a show, and by just me and you, but like all of, like, listeners,
all
too.
Of us. Oh yeah, we have a ton of listeners that when writing in for Freaky Fridays or something will say, I've been listening to you since the beginning. And I think you've been there for 1.5 babies.
Yeah. A whole husband for me. I didn't have a husband.
A whole husband. A whole pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lockdown. Mm-hmm. Whatever this is. Gestures wildly around me.
I mean, sometimes it's a certain type of lockdown. It certainly feels like. But I think we're coming. It's like a pimple. The whitehead, it gets most painful before it bursts. So hopefully we're all like.
Gross. What a disgusting analogy. But honestly, that's what America is right now. Just a festering pimple that we're all waiting to pop.
Big old pimple. Well,
happy
today,
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right. Well, we are bringing you 6 of our favorite past stories that are ones that had our jaws dropped, that were ones we still think about, or ones that are emblematic of stories that we hear from y'all.
Yeah. A ton of these were the catalyst to so many other stories, being like, I went through the same thing. So we always say there's power in storytelling, and there is 100% power in this community. We see it all the time. You all interacting with each other, interacting with us online, in real life, all of it. We just couldn't be more thankful for what amazing listeners we have. And like, third parties agree.
Yes.
Because when we go on tour or on Crime Wave and things, people that have no idea who we are or no idea who all of you are will be like, y'all have the friendliest listeners. Like, everyone is just so chill. We don't have to worry about them. And I'm like, I know. They're the best community on the whole internet.
That's what we always say. So as you're listening, if this was one of your stories that you sent in the past, thank you very much. And if you've been thinking about sending in a story to Freaky Friday, go to our website and send it in. Now is a good time. Maybe one of these will kick off something for you. But I know a lot of times people are like, oh, I'm not a good writer, or I don't know what I'm doing. Whatever. It's all about being yourself. So just write it as if you were straight up talking to us. That's what we want to hear. And thank you to everybody who's taken the time to write them out so far. But we look forward to the infinite number of stories that are yet to be told, that are inside
maybe
of you.
Maybe something happened yesterday that you need to get off your chest.
Maybe you solved the problem, solved the legend of the Gobble Squatch. Someone admitted to it over Thanksgiving.
Maybe Uncle Carl just lost his shit and we all need to hear about it.
Yeah.
While giving the speech.
Yeah. If you have any Uncle Heather type conspiracy theorists in your family, like send it in. What kind of crazy ass shit? You're like, tell you what those UFOs really are. It's some suppositories you stick up your ass. When you pull them out, they get bigger and they keep getting bigger. Like them washcloths you pour water on. And that's how they end up in the sky. And that's why they want to go back to the ocean. I'll tell you that much. Shit like that. Send it on in. We want to hear it.
Like those capsules that you break apart and then it's something, those sponges grow. That's what it's suppositories. That makes sense.
You're lucky they even come out of your ass. They're not supposed to, but you can get them out if you push hard enough. Anyway,
if you push hard enough, you can. But you should leave them up there because that's how they're getting their data.
So send
By
it
them,
in.
I mean the aliens.
Exactly. That's how they get in you and they come out your chest. So send in your uncle's craziest stories. And in the meantime, enjoy this lineup. And thanks to everybody for everything all the time. We love you.
We love you so much.
Well, this next one is from Alex, and it is called How My Dad Almost Beat a Serial Killer's Ass. And a brief content warning, this mentions aggressive handling of an animal. Hey, girls, I'm going to quickly gush about how much I love you girls and the podcast. I've listened to every episode, and I'm now working my way through again because you two are the only thing that make work bearable. Okay, now to the story. This is my dad's story, but I think you'll love and hate it at the same time. So here we go. Let's set the scene. It's October of 1992. We lived in Park City, Kansas. We were living in the little trailer park in town, and we had just got a new dog. Her name was Dot. My mom, dad, and at the time, 5-year-old brother lived there. My mom was just around 4 months pregnant with me. My dad was working on putting in a new fence with my papa. And my mom was probably inside dealing with the dumpster fire that was my brother. See, Dot liked to act like the convict she was and escape from the yard daily. As they were putting the post for the fence in, a white truck pulled up. This is when my dad realized it was the dog catcher, since Dad had been dealing with him a lot lately. Dad just thought he was there to make sure he was building the fence tall enough so Dot wouldn't be able to yeet herself over it. The driver got out, and my dad stopped what he was doing and started walking towards him. The man went to the back of the truck, opened the back doors, and pulled our Dalmatian, Dot, out of the back, carrying her up to the house at chest level by her collar. My dad being, well, my dad, got right in the man's face, poking him in the chest back down the driveway, yelling, "Don't you ever touch my dog like that!" Poking him after every word, mixed with some much more heated comments. And my dad ending the confrontation by telling the man he would kick his ass if he ever saw him touch an animal like that again. Once the new fence was up, we didn't have to deal with that asshat again. Fast forward to February of 2005. We were at my grandparents' house hanging out when the news came on with breaking news. They had arrested Dennis Rader as BTK. My dad was watching this and had every emotion running across his face. That's when my dad told me this story and ended it with, "That's the man I poked in the chest down my driveway." Insert record scratch here. What? My dad poked that psycho down a driveway and threatened him like the gangster he is. Months later, my dad got a call from one of the main detectives on the case that he'd known since way before I was even a thought, telling him that my dad's name was on Raider's kill list. I can only assume it's because of that day. Hope you enjoyed the story. Love what you girls do. Keep it creepy.
Well, you don't want to be on anybody's kill list, but the BTK is a particularly heinous killer to be listed among his potential victims.
This is the one that made my jaw drop. I should have put it together with Kansas and the dog catcher, but I wasn't thinking. And then I was like, oh my God. I mean, few of us have confirmation that we have been that close to pure evil, that you've touched someone so inherently evil, been that close. And then Dennis Rader didn't forget. He, oh,
no.
Yes.
He got in his car and wrote down your address.
1992 to 2005. I'm glad it was stayed on the list because that's a long span where something could have happened. But that is, wild. Just, and again, I think we talked about it maybe on the last Freaky Friday, that you never really know the people you're dealing with, just everyday strangers, like who you're walking past, who your barista is, your server at a restaurant, the dog catcher. You know, I mean, most people we interact with, it's just on kind of a surface level. And then when you find out, like, holy shit, this guy was one of the most monstrous serial killers in the history of the world. And I threatened to beat his ass because he dragged my dog up like a total asshole. That's not how you carry an animal. That's no. Good for you, man. Good for you. You are a true gangster. Good for you, sir. That's,
dude, daddy
doesn't fuck around.
Don't fuck with my Dalmatian. Yeah, don't fuck with my Dalmatian. But you're right, that kind of the banality of, like, he was just driving around that day, returning dogs back to the yards, you know, like, knowing what mm-hmm. he knew, what he had done before, what he would go on to do. It is just such an eerie feeling. And instances like this, I mean, it just shows you he has no regard for the pain of an innocent creature to drag a dog by its collar. And be, you know, that's on the extreme end of what he's even capable of. But to see a person that's capable of doing that and being like, what kind of an asshole are you treating an animal like that?
Man.
Buddy, you got no idea. And that's just so eerie. But I'm glad that he, like you said, he ended up staying on the list and didn't become a victim of it, because your dad did nothing wrong. I mean, you see a wrong going on, you correct the injustice of, like, get off of my yard, leave my pet alone. It's not like your dad did something heinous to him, that, you know, it's, this guy's just a plain serial killer, literal psychopath, and did what he did because of who he is. So, man,
I absolutely would poke a dog catcher in the chest and say, get the fuck out of my yard and don't ever touch my dog. If they brought one of my animals back like that.
No, for sure. Yeah, not knowing their background.
Yanked
yeah.
pedal up the driveway.
Well, oh, good luck.
I will have the news. First of all, yeah, good luck. She'll just eat you.
Yank her anywhere. I saw her go ham on a fully, like, a banana with the peel, which stupidly I go, does she just eat the whole thing with the peel? And you go, no, she peels it with her hooves. Oh, let me wait and watch. She didn't. She just ate it. But the screams and squeals when she was about to knock over your planter, and you're like, come on, pet, over here. And it was like,
oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
that was just gentle, like, come on, like, coaxing. I can't imagine someone got her by the collar. You're donezo.
Oh, you couldn't. First, you would never catch her. I dare you.
She fast.
Oh, she's fast. And
strong.
People are, yeah, they can be scary. They're very loud. And she is very strong. And they can be intimidating for sure because of their
She's thick. Her belly size. Rubs the ground. She's perfect. She's exactly what a pig should be. She's a snapshot of what it should be.
You were watching her and you go, is that her belly? And I was like, yeah. I'm like, man, get a load of that. And it's just, she's walking and it's, I mean, maybe a millimeter from just brushing the ground, just swaying back and forth.
It's perfect how it hangs, her little tail.
She's so sweet.
She's the best. Well, sorry, I always go off into pedal, how much we love pedal. But you're right. I think all this to say that, man, Alex, your dad dodged one and your whole family did. So thanks for sharing that with us.
And what a story.
Yeah.
That's a story I would tell a lot.
Yeah.
Like every dinner party, if somebody's like, hey, who's got two truths and a lie? I'll be like, I got one.
Yeah, I got a truth for you. Absolutely. Bring that up.
Well, this next one is from Chelsea, and it is called Halloween Strangers. Christy's anxiety at the Halloween party reminded me of the strangers that arrived at my Halloween party a few years ago. The year was 2017. I was in my mid-20s. We threw our annual Halloween party. We shared the house with 5 people, and we invited all our friends. The party was an hour or so in, and we'd all had a few beverages already, when 2 people came walking up the drive. Everyone was in costume, and so at first, we were excited to see what we thought were friends in costumes. I was playing the good host, inviting them in and asking if they needed anything to drink. The 2 strangers were dressed eerily, both wearing full hunting gear and masks. The tall one was wearing a scarecrow ghostly type mask, and the shorter stranger was wearing a goat mask. The goat-faced stranger would occasionally bleat at us. We at first assumed they were just our friends messing with us. I'd say, okay, very funny, but really, who are you? Bah, the goat face would say as they twisted their head. My anxiety creeped up with every minute since they arrived, and they refused to tell us who they were or remove their masks. I started to spiral. Are these people friends? Are they our neighbors that we kicked out of a different party we'd had? Are they murderers waiting for their moment? I thought all these things to myself as the goat-faced strangers had cornered me in the kitchen. Suddenly, I was very aware of the knife block behind me. I grabbed my phone, punched in 911, and said, "That's it. If you don't tell me who the fuck you are right now, I'm calling the police." The strangers removed their masks, revealing the familiar faces of my very own mom and dad. They got us all very good, and they taught me yet another lesson in life. Maybe don't invite strangers into your house. Sorry I couldn't find the pictures of my parents dressed up. Thank you for reading. Big fan. I'll write in again with my actual spooky stories.
Well, this is a spooky story.
Yes, it is.
Because we watched that movie, Who Invited Them, with Ryan Hansen from Veronica Mars. Like, where?
Oh, I haven't seen that.
I thought we watched it together on tour. Or I think we watched it when we were in Denver last year. And it was like, the couple is having like a housewarming party. And then these like posh two people show up and they're very posh. And the husband's like, "Are they your friends?" And the wife's like, "Are they your friends?" And it's like, maybe they're neighbors. And the neighbors are like, "They're not neighbors." And then as people leave the party, these two people stay and they like get progressively weirder and weirder and more pressury. And you're like,
I don't think I've seen this. Oh, well, if we did, I don't remember it.
I will say it was like the best movie ever. It's pretty good. I mean, it's like a good like thriller. And we were like half asleep, half awake. I feel like we watched it when we stayed at the Brown Palace Hotel to do that minisode about the murder and the haunting that happened there. But that's the idea that, oh, everybody come to my party. And then as the door is open, it's just, they aren't even in costume. So the costume with the goat mask that's not talking to you is even much, much worse. It's like the movie The Strangers.
Yes, just looking at you, head cocked, like, bah, when you try and answer it a question. I would have lost it. On one hand, mad props to these parents.
Go
like,
mom
you
and dad.
Went hard. And you, I'm sure, are legends to everyone that was there. On the other hand, I would have poppled myself upon all of this happening and then probably just broke down sobbing once I realized it was my own parents that had been doing this to me.
I just was trying to envision my parents, and I think that my mom would not be able to only bow at people. She would want to talk, and then my dad would be totally incognito all night because he would just, at parties, like chill in a corner and find like one or two people to talk shit with. So people would be like, "That Scarecrow is hilarious back there. We don't know what he is. He's just cracking Budweiser's back there talking shit."
That goat she's got a bit of a twang, and she's been just talking all night.
That goat is hilarious. That's the funniest goat we've ever met. It's like, God damn it, that's my parents. I would recognize them right away. But that, like you said, that is a very good prank. I like parents who prank their kids.
If
any of y'all are listening, have fun, because we've had a couple write in where parents, you know, drive you to somewhere scary to, you know, and then like scream or something to startle you while you're in the car, whatever. Anytime a parent prank, I want more stories like that. I love those. Good
especially
natured.
In your good natured ones. Yeah, in your 20s too. Clearly, you have a rapport where this probably wasn't the first. I don't think you go from zero pranks. And if you have, then you went hard. You went hard in the paint. Your first
your parents
out the gate prank.
Are turning it up because they're like, "Well, let's just do a fun prank. What should we do? Full costume, sneak in, don't speak to them, terrify them, make them call the police.
Hunting gear, goat mask. You don't talk. You just say, bah, and cock your head at them anytime somebody asks you something. Then we're going to corner our daughter in the kitchen right by the knives until she breaks. We won't take these masks off."
And that's why you always check under the mask, kids. You're like, "Oh, cool. Thanks, mom and dad, for the lesson. Can we just go back to partying now?"
And then you know they stayed around and partied. I love when families have like good-natured, pranky relationships like this, because it says a lot about like, you're obviously close enough to where you can do something like this, and you're not going to lose contact with them. You're not going to destroy your relationship for the rest of your life.
No, because they weren't like, "Call the police. We'll see what happens then." Their parents are like, "We take it all away. We take it to the max.
I'll have the cops show up. I refuse to take this off. They spend the night in jail. There's a whole trial. They're like, I will die first before I give up this bit."
Exactly. Anyway, so my dad's in jail. He's serving 15 to 20. for breaking and entering. But he said he never, he commits to the bit, and he said, don't be weak. don't drop it.
So, you know, I'm not. So anyways, well, thank you so much, Chelsea, for sending that in. It sounds like a hell of a party, and your parents sound very fun. So tell them we said,
what's
good
up?
Job. What's up?
Sinisterhood will be right back. Something that has changed how I get ready, especially now that we're in full-on holiday madness, is Jones Road Beauty, baby. I used to dread doing my makeup before. I felt like it was heavy, it was cakey. There was a lot of products I had to try to even get one to look good. And it's like I have 5 minutes before I need to be somewhere and I look like garbage and I'm panicking, but no more.
Same. I always felt like makeup has to be this entire production. And depending on where you're going, you have levels of how much you want to do and you have to plan out that time. There's too many steps. And also, it never would turn out how I wanted it to. It didn't make my skin look dewy and fresh. But then we found Jones Road Beauty and their Miracle Balm.
The little compact fixes so many things. I feel like it enhances my skin instead of making it look like masks. And I also feel like it's very effortless, fresh face, natural look where, yes, I'm late, but at least I'm put together and I don't have to panic about my makeup anymore.
No, I had been seeing the Jones Road Miracle Balm palette coming up on my FYP forever before we even got them as a sponsor. And I had been wanting to try it. And I was so excited when they became a sponsor because that's exactly what I'm looking for. Just effortless, three different colors. They blend with anybody's skin. They make it look so dewy and fresh. It really is like a miracle balm. And it's the perfect stocking stuffer. Just the tiniest, cutest little palette. You can also drop it in your bag. If I found it in my stocking, and I already have one, I'd be like, yes, because now I got a backup because I use it every time I'm putting on my makeup now. I love it so much.
It's true. You always end up at a holiday party, and this is a perfect thing to take as like a little gifty to give out. Starting November 6th, Jones Road launched their most giftable holiday collection yet. These kits are so cute. There's 5 limited edition trios with new shades, exclusive packaging, and they're perfect little gifts to give out as your favorite thing. And the best part, they're good for your skin too. They look and feel natural, like that no makeup makeup, but elevated. The Miracle Balm is their bestseller for a reason.
It's become my go-to when I'm rushing straight to a dinner or a holiday event. I can go from I look tired to I look alive instantly, which truly I can look ghoulish. But when the Miracle Balm goes on, I'm like, I just look like I came from the spa. I look refreshed and dewy and glowing.
This holiday season, simplify your routine with makeup that's clean, strategic, and multifunctional. From November 18th to December 1st, Jones Road is doing their first ever Black Friday sale. Go to jonesroadbeauty.com to get up to 20% off site-wide. That's jonesroadbeauty.com for up to 20% off your entire order. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. All right. Well, this next one is from Jen, and we're switching gears here away from brushes with true crime and more into the paranormal, although there is some possible crime in this one. Jen writes, her subject line is "The House That Hell Wanted Back." Hey, ladies, longtime listener, first time caller. After listening to the last couple of Freaky Fridays about back roads and abandoned buildings, it piqued my memory about the house that hell wanted back. So let's get into it. To start, I live up in Canada, southern Alberta to be specific. One summer, over a decade ago, I was in a neighboring city about 2 hours from home visiting my sister. We got bored one day, and she asked me if I wanted to go check out this old house that her hubby was obsessed with and was joking about buying. So I agreed, like an idiot. They had already gone to see it once before, and my sister kept talking about how it felt super creepy and how it was absolutely haunted. Famous last words for this chicken shit. For context, this house was on the side of a coulee, steep hill, surrounded on all sides and concealed by brush, smack dab in the middle of the city. It had been vacant for God only knows how long, and had been listed for sale for years already, though no one had ever put in an offer. Not even for the land. Red flag number one. The property had an older house, garage, and a couple of sheds/outbuildings. Nothing too special, Though the property itself had its own postal code, you know, zip code, and it was the only place in the whole city with that specific postal code. Creepy, but kind of neat, I suppose. There was supposed to be only one access point, which was a rusty old gate on a steep, windy road that was padlocked. The sign on the gate said 521 Hill Road in these creepy, rusty, old numbers that looked oddly bloody on first glance. Red flag number two. And cue the intense music. So, to access this property without going through the gate that looked like it hadn't been touched in years, you'd have to go down to the bottom of the hill, park on a dead-end street, and hoof it up to a set of rickety wood stairs to the back of the property. If I wasn't freaked out already, I sure was now. How the hell did I get convinced into doing all this? When we parked, I had a pit in my stomach, and when we were halfway up the stairs, my gut and brain were screaming, "Turn around!" But like idiots, we kept going. When we got up the stairs to the property, it was eerily quiet and chilly, which was odd considering it was 34 degrees Celsius, mid-90s in Fahrenheit, and the middle of the summer, and right next to a busy road and just up from another busy area. Everything was in absolute disarray, and you could tell that the property had been vandalized a time or two. My sister decided we'd head into the house first and check it out, and I reluctantly agreed. I can't even describe how it felt to be in there. It was dark, it was creepy, and it just felt really off. Like there was a dark presence there, and it didn't want us to be there. Some odd features of the house? Well, for starters, the layout was super strange and confusing, almost like you were meant to get turned around constantly. It had prison bars inside the dining room leading out to the living room, and the fridge poked halfway into the living room. It also had an alligator pit. Seriously, an alligator pit. In southern Alberta. What the fuck? The whole place was just super eerie and felt wrong. I was freaked out completely, and after a few minutes, even my sister was like, "All right, I've had enough. Should we go?" I don't know how to explain it, but the whole property just gave off really sinister vibes. And I think we both freaked ourselves out enough, so we booked it out of the house and ran down those stairs back to the car. I was never happier to get back to the car and get the hell away from that place. Both my sister and I agreed that the place felt evil and that we'd never step foot on that property again. Once we got back to her place, she showed me the photos that they had taken when they were there a week prior, and I almost died. I can confirm that they aren't edited either, as I saw the originals and checked to make sure there was no fuckery. In an odd turn of events, shortly thereafter, the house completely burned down. The official cause was never determined as far as I know. It was probably arson, though I remain convinced that hell wanted its house back, and I tell everyone as much. In the ensuing years, the other buildings have burned down at various times, mostly due to suspected vandalism or arson. But the old rusty gate on the hill still remains and gives me chills every time I have to drive by it. And yes, my brother-in-law still talks about how he should have bought it when he had the chance. I've attached some photos from the week prior when my sister and her hubby went to the Hill House, as well as a newspaper archive link about the original house fire shortly after we were there. Check out the photo in the living room of the fireplace and mantle and tell me what you see. Do you see the face of a long-haired girl? Super creepy. Thanks for getting me through countless mundane drives to and from work, for all the effort y'all put in to make this pod happen, and for giving us this outlet to get our freaky stories out. Y'all feel like my distant friends from Texas, so if you ever find yourself up in the western side of the Great White North, let's grab a double-double and catch up. Maybe next time I'll send you the story of finding the homemade bomb in the woods. Much love from Canada, and keep on keeping it creepy. Well, if Jen has included some images, first of all.
If ever there was a house that hell wanted back, this sure looks like one.
Certainly, the 521 in the chipped off bloody letters. Yeah, absolutely.
Even like the font and everything about it. It's that, what's that video game Tommy used to play? Not Silent Hill, but this does have a very Silent Hill vibe to it.
Yes, it's very creepy. And if you were making a film about a creepy house, you wouldn't even think that's so good. You couldn't even make a fake one that looks this good.
No, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. This is, we'll post a lot of these pictures on the social. There's all the windows, if they're not shattered or boarded up, everything just looks dilapidated. the picture of the fireplace with the mantle. It looks like a girl with hair. I think it could be like pareidolia something. Is there? Who knows?
Yeah, it's definitely like a stain or a burn or something that, you know, sometimes, you know, you see Elvis on a piece of toast or the Mother Teresa on grilled cheese. It's like that. It's like some sort of stain or burn. But I could see how you make out like the hair and face of like a girl. And yeah, the bars on the window between the sections,
ladder down into what looks like a grave. What is that? Like a bomb shelter?
I think that's the alligator pit. Yeah, that's the gator pit.
Wait, so how do you even know that this was legitimately a gator pit? Is this really what someone would use that for?
That appears to be what a gator pit is.
Is this a thing that people just have?
I'm going to put install gator pit at home.
Surely. I mean,
how to install a gator pit? Yeah, you can. I mean, it's DIY if you wanted to.
It shouldn't be. That should be something that you got to
hang on a minute.
Come do.
I think these might be referring to a brand of grills called Gators. So never mind.
Okay. Well, that's a gator I'll have in my backyard. This one looks like it's meant for like an 8-foot long animal, not a grill. And it's
honestly
underground.
Yeah, like a smoker. No, you're right, though. That is, I mean, Jen, all that to say, Jen did not oversell this house.
No, it's fucked up.
Top to bottom.
It's real fucked up. Yeah, I imagine that there's a lot of high school kids that like to break in and do weird shit in here.
Oh, I'm sure. And, you know, hide things or fuck around, set stuff on fire. The gator pit. Well, I'll definitely include all of these on our social medias because it is creepy as hell.
Yeah, I can't even really make out what some of the rooms are. They're so, like, bizarrely, there's like weird cabinets and steps and stuff that are, I don't know what it means.
Yeah, it's very like dilapidated. There's like weird openings like in brick that you wouldn't expect there to be like a small door. You know, it looked like it would be a brick wall, but there's like a cubby in it somehow. My big question is, why is his brother-in-law trying to buy this house?
I was just about to say, nobody missed an opportunity here. Do you know how, I mean, you can't, I don't imagine save any of this. You can buy the land, level it and start over. Then you're going to have a real poltergeist situation on your hands.
Yeah, you need to just bulldoze the whole place and then all that's left is just dirt and a gator pit and start over.
And then you let the gators have it. I think that's the only answer.
Yeah, you're right, Christy. Nobody, they didn't miss out. Leave that house there.
This would have been a legitimate, just an alligator pit, a huge money pit.
That too.
Just sink money into this to try and restore it, only to be told, nah, all this has got to come down.
It's got to come down. We can't keep this. Well, yes, Jen, thank you, first of all, for sending this in and for all of the many photos. But yes, please send in a story about finding a homemade bomb in the woods.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would want to hear that. That sounds wild.
100%. Please send that in.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious to buy chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Well, this next one is from Haley, and it is called Yet Another Cult Story. Hello, beautiful ladies. This is Haley again. I'm the one whose coworker gave me that incredibly offensive and work-inappropriate Seventh-day Adventist pamphlet. It was so cathartic just to write that story down and then be able to laugh at your jokes in the show. It helped so much in the healing process, so thank you for what you do. Now, here's my other cult story. When I was a sophomore studying film at the University of Denver, a classmate, let's call her Kara, asked if I wanted to help her with a film project. Outside organizations would reach out to the university, hoping to get students to produce their projects for cheap, and Kara accepted one. The project was to record a weekend conference for a spiritual guidance book and create an ad for it. I agreed under the condition that I would leave early the first day of the project for an afternoon funeral service. The two of us excitedly drive to the seminar's venue, a hotel in the mountains, creepy location in hindsight. Later, we'd be making the Shining jokes. We get to the conference room, set up our equipment, and meet the two ladies in charge of the retreat, Asara and Jacque. With maybe 15 people in attendance, the seminar begins. The speakers start discussing ascending to Theta and awakening spiritual consciousness, all sounding like generic spiritual prattle to me. And the end result of this spiritual awakening would be, of course, financial success. This felt fishy to me, but everyone can believe what they want, and I'm just here to film it. At one point, each attendee is asked why they are here for the weekend and what their goals are. Their responses are mostly very sad. Most are experiencing extreme financial hardships. Some are grieving a terrible loss, and all are feeling achingly lost in life and looking for guidance. One woman describes that her adult son has gone no contact with her, and she desperately wants him back in her life. One man's wife recently passed away, and he is suffering emotionally and financially. The main speaker, Asara, immediately purports to be able to help each of them. This is when I put together, this is a flat-out cult. Every one of these people are vulnerable in some way, and this woman and her book are claiming to provide an easy fix. And to top it all off, this seminar cost thousands to attend, which is excessively exploitive to these attendees who are already in financial straits. In the afternoon, I have to go to a funeral service, so I leave Kara by herself to finish the day. All that appeared on the schedule was the, quote, group meditation, so I thought she'd be fine on her own. The next morning, she picks me up, and she's not nearly as excited as she was the previous day. I ask how the afternoon was, and she pulls out the camera to show me some of the footage. I'm not exaggerating when I say this footage looked like it was straight out of a horror movie. The, quote, group meditation was not what I expected. People were writhing in their chairs and onto the ground, their eyes rolling into the back of their heads, and some were mumbling to themselves. I sit in horror and watch the footage, and Kara and I discuss what to do. We decide we have to finish out the second day since we made the agreement that we would, though we hadn't signed any contracts or anything. When we arrive at the hotel, the vibe feels unquestionably darker. The speakers describe healing trauma and letting go of the past by becoming one with life and realizing that the pain and conflict are not real. They also began, quote, healing the attendees of their trauma by pressing their hands against them. It was incredibly uncomfortable to film. At around the lunch break, Kara and I resolve that we've had enough and want to avoid the day's group meditation at all costs. I decide to do what I used to do in high school to get out of things, fake a migraine. Kara explains to organizers that we have all the footage we need, but we need to leave. Jacque, a speaker, proceeds to place her palm on my forehead to attempt to, quote, heal my migraine, despite my insistence that she doesn't have permission to touch me. We couldn't get out of there fast enough. We decided to hand over the footage and refuse payment, as we wouldn't finish the video for them. We also consulted with the university, and they agreed to better vet the projects they would connect students with. I've scoured the project emails I still have for the name of this cult or more information, but all I found was the title of the book, The One Command, Six Steps to Attract Wealth with the Power of Your Mind, by Asara Lovejoy. My internet sleuthing has turned up very little, so hopefully this cult is long defunct. I'm just hoping those people they exploited are in a healthier place in their lives now.
Oh, that's got to be such a feeling, Haley, when you're like filming them and then they're being vulnerable and you're realizing that they're super vulnerable and currently in a position to be exploited, literally like as you roll tape on them.
Yeah, but you're just watching them being taken advantage of. But that's an interesting point you make, Haley, of like, I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to film. And as, you know, documentarians or someone that's hired to film something, there's a lot of documentarians that have talked about how difficult it was to like film what they're filming and not intervene. But that, you know, your job as the filmmaker isn't to intervene. But something like this, when you're like, I just can't get behind this. You did the right thing by bouncing and just being like, y'all can just have this. I don't want to be a part of this. But yeah, it's really hard to watch people that after you hear their story of why they're there and that they've paid thousands to be there and that they don't have any money.
Yeah.
But they spend all the money they have to be there because they just want something that mm-hmm. they think is going to help be the thing that changes everything around for them. That's really hard to stomach and watch. No, from the outside being like, this is a scam.
Yeah, like just people mired in loss. And then you mm-hmm. know that they're – what? Because there's never the answer of I can fix everything with my book. And it's only a 3-week process that you have to pay $1,000 every week. Whatever. Like you as the third party hearing that is like, oh, no, no, that's not the answer. But that vulnerable person's like, oh, finally, I'm cured. And then you get to this meditation where – whether it's the placebo effect or what, where people, our eyes are rolling back in their head and they're, you know, moving all that. So I hear you on that second day being like, we can bounce before that because mm-hmm. she already showed she does not respect your personal boundaries by touching you when you said she didn't have permission. And she's like trying to Benny Hill you and slap you on the forehead mm-hmm. and make you heal all of a sudden.
Yeah. Good for you for expressing those boundaries too and being like, I didn't give you permission to touch me. I didn't sign up for this course. I'm just here to film it.
No, I think I said Benny Hill, who's the British comedian. I meant Benny Hinn, who's the British, or who's the American faith healer.
I thought maybe you knew something I didn't, and there was some sketch where Benny Hill smacks somebody in the face. All I know of him is big titty women running around while he chases them, but I haven't seen a lot. So both you Benny's were not talking about Benny Hill.
No, we're talking about Benny Hinn. Both of them will hit you in the head, and the person they hit, both will fall down, and it's hilarious. But one of them is a comedian, and one of them's a faith healer. So that's on me.
Okay.
Two different last names, my bad. But very close in pronunciation.
Yeah. Well, that's when things get messed up. Everyone that listened to the Jared Leto one, was like, I was just screaming when they kept messing up all the names of people that I thought Chris Daughtry was Aaron Lewis from Stain. So could Benny Hill and Benny Hinn be the same person? Maybe.
We've never seen him in a room.
We need to see like a crossover episode with them of something.
Yeah, I want to see him in the same room. That's then mm-hmm. we'll know. Then we'll know. Mm-hmm. But I think that type of faith healing or whatever, when you see it, it's not just in these mega churches or whatever. It's at this spiritual conference center where they've gotten people to pay a grand and have told them that this is going to fix everything. So that's really tough. And I think, yeah, the university's got to vet their shit. It's one thing to be like, we want to get our students experience and like not at all costs.
Right. No. No, good on you for being like, hey, guys, maybe before you send us out on a project, you figure out a little bit about them. But it's giving Teal Swan. And the thing is, like, anybody can just write a book and then put shit out on the internet that's like, hey, I got all the answers. And you just get a couple people that'll pay you a grand and there you have it.
I Googled this person. They had Penguin Random House published that book because they were kind of the spiritualists that ended up getting big on like Clear Channel Radio, like terrestrial radio, back in the day, as I will say. Which, so I guess, like you said, anybody can write a book and anybody can go on a spiritual conference tour and dupe some college students into coming in and filming them.
Yep. Well, thank you so much, Haley, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Well, this next one is from my sweet daughter, Anonymous, and the subject line is, Honey, I think you got scammed. Hello, ladies. You all are so incredible, and I admire your kindness, intelligence, humor, and dedication to the pod. Thank you so much for making my 5:30 a.m. wake-ups on Wednesdays and Fridays a little easier. This story is my brush with true crime, but not the murdery stalker type of true crime. This summer, I became a victim of financial fraud, and I thought it may be helpful to share my story because I suffered, and still do, from a lot of guilt and shame. Hopefully, I can help someone else out there feel less alone. One day at work, I received an email from the owner of the company I work for, asking me to confirm my cell number to him. My job is not the typical 9-to-5, and I work in healthcare, so it is not uncommon to text your bosses after hours. So I thought nothing of this and sent him my number. He then texted me that he needed me to run an errand for him and that I was allowed to leave early for the day. It was about 10:30 a.m. at this point. Being new to the job, about 2 months in, I just wanted to do what I was told. So I told my manager, "Hey, Don told me he needs me to run some errands for him and to leave early today." And I left, no questions asked. He then began frantically texting me, saying, "Go to the store and get gift cards. I will be giving them to all the managers at each clinic. I will reimburse you via Venmo." So I got them. 3 $200 gift cards to eBay, like he asked. He then asked me to send him the gift card codes and the receipts to prove I bought them. About 20 minutes later, he was frantically texting again, "Anonymous, you have to go and get more gift cards." So again, I did. 3 more $200 gift cards. Later, it happened again. Another $600 later, I was annoyed at my boss. Can't he do this himself? This whole situation was weird to me. So I call my dad, who has been a manager at a bank for 25 years. He agreed that it was weird and to advocate for this to be done on company time and to ask my boss to respect my personal boundaries. After all, this isn't a part of my job in the slightest. He asked again for the fourth time. Again, this was the owner of the company, so I treaded lightly and politely stated, "I'm willing to do more of these company errands with the company card and on my contracted hours," which he initially argued with, but I stood my ground. Later that night, my dad called me and asked if I ever talked to my boss about this directly, via phone or in person. I didn't. This is when I fell apart. My dad said, "I think this is a scam. Honey, I think you got scammed out of that money." He was right. That was not my boss. It was a total stranger who hacked our system and got my email while the owner of the company was away on vacation. I burst into tears and didn't stop until I laid down on my bed to sleep that night. How could I be this stupid? Why am I so dumb? What am I gonna do? I lost $1,800 and I had just started working full-time 3 months ago. I didn't have a lot of money. I was beyond embarrassed, ashamed, and depressed. I called my manager, who is incredibly kind, and I just cried into the phone. She was wonderful and kept saying, "I will take care of it. Shit happens, we'll figure it out." Not many managers will answer the phone at 9 p.m., especially when they have to work at 5:30 a.m. the next day. Fast forward a bit. My company was amazing about the whole situation and never made me feel bad for this. They even replaced all $1,800, which I am incredibly grateful for, as I am at the bottom of the pecking order in terms of salary. I later found out that many people I know have also had these scams happen to them, but they were too embarrassed or ashamed to talk about it, just like me. After talking about it with friends and family and going to therapy to overcome the shame I felt, I realized I was not dumb. I was a victim of a crime. One night, I had a breakdown, and my mom said to me, "You would never blame another woman for being a victim, so why would you blame yourself?" And she is so right. If you have been the victim of a financial crime, do not blow it off and think it was just a financial crime and not a real one. That is a real crime, and it affects real people. Do not be ashamed if you've had this or something similar happen to you. It does not define you. I highly recommend seeing a therapist about it if that's something you're into.
Good for your parents for being so supportive and like not shaming and just really kind and understanding that this really affected you and like just being there for you, because I think it is easy a lot of times for people in these with these types of crimes for other people to be like, "What? You went around and did all that and lost $1,800. It's like, at the time, like you said, "I'm trying not to get fired. I just got this job. Yes. I want to be impressed." You think it's the boss. Like, you're just doing what you think is right. And then, and that's, and they do get you like so frantic and worked up that it happens so fast. Because if you had enough time to sit and think about it, you might be like, this sounds fishy. So, I mean, it's intentional how they go about it. And you
yes.
are definitely, there's nothing, you should not be ashamed about this happening. Like you always say, if a snake is going to bite somebody, you just happen to walk by.
For sure. And I'm glad that the company was understanding and reimbursed you mm-hmm. and your manager was like, oh, we'll figure it out. But you're right. You, Christy, are right that like they get you so fast because if you have 2 seconds to stop, an anonymous would have gone like, oh, hey, Karen, I have a quick question. Does mm-hmm. Don ever send you out to buy gift cards? Then Karen's going to go, no, Don's on vacation. He's in Puerto Rico. Like, he's not yeah. even texting right now. Then you're like, oh, shit. So I feel like they get you in that, like, go right now. Mm-hmm. The cops are on their way. The IRS is on their way. The mm-hmm. sheriff is coming, whatever, to, like, work you up. Of, like, it's an emergency, new employee, and I'll fire you if you don't. So mm-hmm. it's good, Anonymous. I'm glad you wrote to us, and I'm glad we can share and just spread more awareness of, like, my thing is, unless it is a, if you text me, I mean, you, Christy, text me and said, hey, I need to get a gift card for Tommy. And will you send me the code of the gift card? I would literally mm-hmm. be like, I'm going to FaceTime you. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not trying to sound crazy. Or I would ask you a trick question that only you would know the answer to.
Right.
Because it really is like.
What a weird thing for me to ask, too.
Exactly. So, like, where it would I be mean, like, that's not, strange.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not that's completely, not something that would normally happen.
No, not at all. But or if you, you know, if you said, hey, buy me a gift card for Tommy, you know, it's an event or something, or we need it for the, can you run an errand for, we run errands for each other, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But like when it's like anything gift card and anything scratching off and giving numbers, just mm-hmm. a PSA, blanket PSA for future, like you could, Anonymous couldn't have known this, but now going forward, it's like we all know this, anything gift card related, your radar should be up and going, mm-hmm. I'm gonna need to know for sure this is you. And forgive me for being paranoid. And I think real, like if you really need me to get you something and I said, I'm gonna make sure it's you, you wouldn't be like, it doesn't matter, Heather. It doesn't matter if it's me. Yeah. Just bring me the gift.
Just give
like,
me the code. Give
here's
me the
a
code.
Selfie. Like I'm on the yeah. toilet. Here's a selfie or whatever. Of like, why can't you FaceTime me right now? You know, just some sort of like proof mm-hmm. of life. So I think this is very generous of you, Anonymous, to take the shame and guilt that you we're harboring and transform it into something positive and something of a PSA of like, if anybody asks you ever anybody to buy a gift card, don't give them the number, only physically hand it to them in person.
Yes. That's why you get the little printout of yeah. the receipt that has the number mm-hmm. and then you put it in the card with it. But
because it's hard.
I agree, Anonymous. Good for you for going to therapy about this and not mm-hmm. minimizing it and understanding that this was traumatic for you and mm-hmm. seeking help for that and then sharing your story to help others because it yeah. does happen so often. And I think a lot of people are embarrassed to say something or they just think it's not a big deal, but it is a big deal. So mm-hmm. good for you.
Yeah. And I always hate to see people minimize something that happened to them because we don't know the untold effects that something happens until much later. And so to be like, oh, well, you know, I wasn't really harmed and attacked. I was just held up at knife point. That's fucking scary. You know, right, it's like, sure. Well, I wasn't really attacked. I was just like, you know, catfished and tricked and thought it was my boss. No, that sucks. That's violating. Like these are real feelings that we have. And absolutely. So we're not all in the pain Olympics and everybody's journey is different. So you're totally valid. And I'm glad you shared. Thank you very much. Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Well, this next one is from Athena, and the subject line is crime-fighting dad. Hey, lovely ladies. I thought I'd share something about my dad that I never truly realized how intense and important his job was while I was growing up. I'm not sure how to begin this, so I'll start from the beginning. My dad moved to Seattle in the early 90s. He's a super eccentric dude and is a professional photographer. He and my mom met later in life and made a love child, aka me. As I was a surprise, my dad stepped up and decided he needed to find a more stable job instead of working at a film lab. Remember when that was still a thing? He applied around and then came upon the job listing for a photographer for the King County Sheriff's Department, which is the county that Seattle resides in. As a government job, he saw that as a stable employment and an income that would support our family. At the time he applied, he didn't realize what a new world he would enter. He became a forensic crime scene photographer for the King County Sheriff's Department. He started from the bottom rank, and by the time he retired, he was the head of the photography unit. When you're a kiddo, you know, you don't really know what's going on in the world and the news, and that was me. While I was at school during the day or at home playing with dolls, my dad was taking crime scene photos to help those that were innocent and help put away others. Obviously, as I was a child, he rarely shared what he did at work, nor would he talk about it really with my mom. It was an extremely draining and emotional job, as anyone can imagine. He worked on some pretty famous cases, too. His photos put away Gary Ridgway, the Green River Killer. He spent a lot of time working on a famous case here in Washington called the Carnation Murders. The trial took 8 years and consisted of 6 people in one family being murdered. In that murder trial, the jurors had a complete recreation of the murder scene in the living room. To have the complete recreation, they required the floor to be photographed to exact measurements of the crime scene. This is one of the homicides that he worked on that I actually can recall because of the stress it brought him. He spent the next few months taking photos of the floor, which had to then be made into a merged photo to be printed out and used for the recreation. This case is one of the hardest, mentally and physically, that he ever worked on, and he still has nightmares of the scene to this day. My dad says he has nightmares of many photos he had to take, and in the early morning, around 2 a.m., he'll even see the faces of the victims he saw. My dad hates crime shows and will still rarely discuss what he witnessed during his 20 years there. Thanks for letting me write in. Also, P.S., this is the one podcast my boyfriend actually likes that I listen to. The first episode I played for him was the Whataburger parking lot disaster, and he's been hooked since. P.S.S., my dad was born in Dallas and lived his early life in Cleburne and still has his Texas accent. Him and Alexa fight on the daily because she can't understand what he says. Listening to you ladies talk is like listening to family.
Well, thank you so much. It was in and out, but Heather, I believe, had the Whataburger incident. So
yeah, it's right before that.
I like that it's the heat's coming off me now, and everyone now is maybe we shift and we're like, Heather had to pee in a Whataburger
in a tumbler
drive through line. Is that as gross? No.
In the dead
Mine's
of night.
Way grosser.
In a Beetle. That's like awful, but.
But you know what? That led into the story of the In-N-Out. So, and my grandparents lived in Cleburne, spent a ton of time there as a kid and teenager. So I love that. Love hearing that your dad was from there too.
Cleburne connection. And we love to hear a Dallas boy done right. Cause that, what an amazing and important job your dad had throughout the years to the precision it takes, the focus. I mean, not only professional focus, but I mean, you have to have perfectly crisp, well-lit photos. And it's a whole other different type of photography with much higher stakes, I would argue, even.
Yeah. And obviously those are some images you're never going to get out of your mind. When you have to photograph something so much to get like exact measurements of a floor that is soaked in blood.
6 people. Yeah.
Yeah. Several of them children. That's not something you ever can get away from. I wouldn't want to listen to true crime shows or watch any of that either. So I totally get it. The Carnation Murders, what a heinous story that I'd never heard of, and I kind of wish I hadn't.
Yeah, but when you, even just a quick overview of it, God bless your dad for going in there and meticulously documenting it so that, you know, they could hopefully find some justice, because that is a very difficult job.
Yes, it looks like a adult woman and her boyfriend killed the woman's parents, and then her brother, sister-in-law, and their children all on Christmas Eve. It appears she said she was guilty and wanted the harshest sentence possible. So it appears she felt some sort of remorse afterwards.
Yeah, that is a tough case. And also obviously the Green River Killer as well. So your dad was 20 years hopefully he's enjoying a wonderful retirement now. A well-deserved rest after that. All that violence and heartache he had to witness throughout those years.
For sure.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Well, this last one is from Jen, and the subject line is clowns! Exclamation mark.
I'm going to mute myself for this so my screams don't interrupt anything.
All right. I recently discovered you all and have been going back and listening to earlier episodes. I'm now listening to Sam the Sandown Clown, and I'm on the intro when you all are talking about Christy's hate of clowns and various clown pranks, and I knew I had to write in. I have long been frightened of clowns. Started with the viewing of Poltergeist at around 4 years old, still persists now, 40 years later. In the late 90s, when I went off to college, I went with a handful of good friends from high school, including my roommate slash best friend and her boyfriend, who was also on campus with us. My roomie and I quickly fell into roles, and one of mine was that only I remembered our mailbox code, so I got the mail every time we had any. One day, I fetched the mail and had a letter addressed to me, no return address. It looked a little beat up, but I opened it and nearly fell down the stairs. It was a single sheet with a creepy clown on it and some kind of writing. My 26 years older brain remembers serial killer magazine cutouts, but it could have just been messy scrawl and said something like, "Hi, Jennifer. I can't wait to see you. Love, Boxo the Clown," or something equally troubling. My new friends weren't aware of my clown fear, but we were at a school that had dozens of my fellow high school graduates, so I assumed the mystery could be easily solved. I called a friend from home, shrieking that I was going to kill him, but he genuinely didn't know what I was talking about. I asked my roommate and her boyfriend, and they were equally confused, but also very amused, both at the concept and my horror. I continued to get Boxo letters. They got creepier. Some were even burned on the edges just to give that Pennywise touch. I think the final one was of a clown with red eyes, photoshopped to be eating a lobster, at the time my favorite animal, saying, "XOXO, Boxo." Of course, the edges of the letter and the envelope were burned and dirty, like they came straight from hell. I can't fully describe how these letters made me feel. I was horrified because clowns. I was unsettled that the person knew me fairly well, and also that after asking everyone I knew and getting denials all around, someone was lying to me. I was also a little impressed because, like I said, it was the 90s. We still had computer labs in the dorms. Someone made a lot of effort for these letters. After a few weeks, the letters stopped. I guess I forgot about them. My roommate and her boyfriend broke up and then got back together. One day, they finally confessed to me that it had been them all along. I lost my mind. I think I cried, probably more in relief than anything, that there wasn't someone I didn't really know who knew my fears and knew where I lived. We're all still friends. Boxo is just a memory now. But that bastard really messed with me back then. I think I still have one of those letters somewhere. I'll see if I can dig it up and send it in. Thanks for keeping me entertained. Love you, gals. The feeling of opening your fucking mailbox. Ooh, baby.
The clown voice.
Oh, yeah. That was a request from Christy. Could you please do a clown voice?
It was better than I expected.
I only wish that you hadn't muted yourself while you were dying laughing at me doing it. But,
Oh, man. I feel your pain, Jen. I went through something similar. Also in college.
That's right.
I started receiving newsletters, newsletters addressed to me. And then like clown figurines would appear on like the door to my dorm room and stuff. I eventually found out it was some friends of mine. But when I opened that and I was like, what? And it was just like 10 pages stapled together. I'm sure I have it somewhere. Mm-hmm. I will look
in a little bit because I think I might know where it will be. And if I have it, I will.
Please.
We can post it on our Patreon and our social.
Yeah, we'll post it.
Yeah. I'm glad that you were nice enough to forgive them because I don't know if I asked them and they lied to me. I don't know that I'd like that.
I know, right? It's one thing to be like, okay, you guys, I've been getting these clown letters at you and being like, all right, yeah, you got us. It was us. We weren't going to tell you unless you asked, but since you asked, we'll tell you the truth. But to ask and be like, no, it wasn't us. It must have been an evil clown that wants to kill you. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, great. I'm fucking terrified.
Boxo. That's like such a name, too. That is a good clown name, though.
It's creepy. To me, it sounded like something off of... Are you afraid of the dark or like goosebumps like yeah. that? Either of those seems like, oh, it's Boxo. If you get a letter in the mailbox from Boxo the Clown and you open it, that means you're Boxo's next target and you have to send the letter to someone else, something like that. But in this case, it's just your friends being fucking assholes in college. It's so mean. Doctor, she'll cry. If we put another clown in there, she'll cry. It's don't put the clown in there.
Oh, it doesn't end in college. Tommy then later decided to continue to prank me it was a long con for years about the Lakewood clown and how there was a house of crazed clowns that all lived near us. Right. And this particular house in the front yard had, I don't think they do anymore, a light fixture
with the bulb.
Four different like globe bulbs on it, but it was like red, green, yellow, blue. And so it was very clown-like and creepy, and it was out of place. And he would always drive by and be like, oh gosh, do you feel that? The car won't drive. Oh,
no!
What's going on? Oh,
stop!
Yeah. And he'd like pull over in front and be like, I don't know, the car just stopped. Oh no, we're near the Lakewood clown. And then he changed my screensaver once when I wasn't at home to just say greetings from the Lakewood clown. And then later that night, it came on when I was by myself and I was like, what the fuck?
And you're like, anyway, we're married now. We have two kids. We're really happy.
So, I guess I too forgave. So, you know, good for you, Jen.
And you forgaved. Well, yeah, Jen, good for you for escaping Boxo. For any of our very talented listeners, if anyone wants to draw Boxo for Fan Art Friday, I would be terrified. I would love to see a horrifying Boxo drawing. Or if Jen can find one of the letters, just like if Chrissy, if you can find your clown newsletter.
I'll look.
Deeply interested in any of that.
The favorite part for me is that it was Photoshopped eating a lobster, which itself, thinking of an image of a demonic clown eating a lobster, hysterical. Also, that a lobster was Jen's favorite animal at the time, which implies it is no longer, and maybe because Boxo ruined it for her.
Yeah, Boxo ate it. Jen, let us know what your current favorite animal is and why. I'm interested in that too. See, I just love a follow-up.
Never knew someone that lobster was their favorite animal, but I'd like to hear why too.
I know people that love Friends that they love lobsters because like, oh, you're my lobster.
Oh, that's
true. Like Friends. So I can see that being a reference, but maybe she just thought lobsters are cute.
They are cute. Yeah, they also taste real good.
Yeah, they do. Sorry, lobster. Me and Boxo have something in common. We love to eat lobster.
Yeah.
Call me a monster.
Well, thank you again to everyone for sending in these original Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story you'd like to share, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of something freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera? Found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just enter your email. You get immediate access to the chat, to the unedited videos. You get to see them all raw.
Bigger,
before
longer.
They go up on the tube and they make us take things down. So if you want to see it the way it was intended to be seen, you got to head on over to Patreon. Plus, you get a bunch of other free stuff just by entering your email, too.
That's what we love. Also, Patreon, now is the time to join. And if you are have not heard, we have got a deal going on. Only a few more days. November is almost, oh, it's fixing to be December next week.
I know. Good
Lord, it is the last.
And it's
today.
Still 85 degrees.
God
here.
Damn it. Yeah, today is the last Friday in November. So on this last Friday, you have this weekend is your last chance to get 20% off an annual membership on Patreon with the code November. Now through this weekend, December 1st, the deal is gone. I mean, you still get 1 month free and you get a ton of stuff. Why should someone join Patreon?
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's a laundry list of reasons. It includes ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As. We do them on the third Thursday of every month on Crowdcast. We get to interact with you in the chat. You get to see a stream from Heather's badass studio. We do quarterly live bonus content where you all get to vote on the bonus content topic you want us to do. Doing Am I the Asshole in a chat with everybody is one of my more fun things that we get to do.
That's how we figure out the assholes is you got to have witnesses. You got to have
absolutely.
Jury.
You get weekly audio bonus content, minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
You can head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop for all of your holiday shopping needs to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And if you're a Patreon member, you get a discount. So check the pinned post and make sure you use that to get a little deal while you're Christmas shopping.
Yes, they've also made it much easier to gift Patreon memberships now.
Both to give and to receive. It used to be, I think you'd kind of have to have two if someone tried to give it to you. Now they can gift you a membership even while you're already a member. So when you're asking Santa what to put under the tree for you, be like, baby, I want content. I want community. I want to talk about assholes. And they'll be like, did you want this book about anuses? And you're like, no, I wanted a Sinisterhood. I wanted.
You're like, yes, but also I wanted this Sinisterhood Patreon annual membership.
Leave the book. Hang on. Might have had a misunderstanding.
Don't take the book back. I wasn't saying take the book back.
Hang
just
on
in
a
addition
minute.
To you get the Patreon membership at a great deal right now, and it can run continuously. So there's no like hiccup in your membership if you're already one.
No, you can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Go follow us on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And if you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the fan in your life, go, or you just want to treat yourself, go book a cameo now. Booking a cameo is a way to wish someone Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, or wish yourself, what the fuck am I going to do this next year? We would love to do a tarot pull. We like to give pep talks. If you have just, you know, you're going through the winter blues, you want a little pep talk. We get it, baby. Let me put on that McGruff costume and twerk for you or something. I don't know. Whatever will make you feel better.
I feel like this is your remedy to the winter blues.
I'm like, doesn't anyone want me to put a costume on and dance? Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood to get.
I'm gonna have to order a cameo
gift.
From our own site.
It's ourselves. It's me cameoing myself. Horsehead Ladybody remains available at cameo.com/sinisterhood. Where can people find you online?
I am a regular head and a regular body, I think, of a lady at on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace. And I'm reposting something over on TikTok at Christy or GTFO.
Get on that algorithm. You got the best reposts. I'm everywhere on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Sinning.